Very good. Don't need to speak anymore, do I? That pretty well covers it. Let me just pray as we just prepare our hearts for the word this morning. Jesus, there's something you want to say to us as we watch that clip and as we listen to your word and we consider this call. Where you say to us, follow me. I pray that as we journey through this, especially as we take this journey towards Easter, it's a strong call. And I pray that all our kind of questions and all our thoughts would just be brought together in a place where we fully understand what you require of us. Give us that revelation today. Bring us to a place where we just fall on our knees like Simon did and go, what do you require of me? And we respond with a deep yes when you say, follow me. So prepare our hearts and get us ready. Lord, we know this is not just a natural activity. There's a spiritual activity going on right now. And we know there's an imposter. We know there's an enemy who doesn't want us to hear this. Because he wants us to follow you. He wants us to follow him. And so we come, Lord, with just this deep desire to learn and to understand today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll just read this passage from Matthew 4, if you just put it up on the screen. Thank you. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said to them, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing the nets. Jesus called them and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This week I was on Friday, me and Tam took out our granddaughter after school. She started school, she's in kindergarten. And we took her out for a milkshake and some chips after. And we're sitting at a cafe and it's funny how I just had a moment with her and just out of the blue, she calls me party because I'm life of the party. It's actually because we have way too many grandparents in our family and that was the only name left. So I quite like it. And she calls me party. And it's funny how, you know, God prepares you for a message like this. And she's never, ever said this to me before. She said, I'm sitting there and she's looking in the cafe and we're sitting down. She says, party, come follow me. I want to show you something. And I'm like, out of the mouth of babe. It was just like I had that moment. I'm sitting there and going, what a bizarre thing to say of all. She could have said a number of things. Party, you know, come. But she said, come follow me. I want to show you something. And I think that is the purpose of this fellowship, is that Jesus wants to show us something. Isn't that beautiful? As we consider that, that is the whole point of fellowship. Some things that we would never see or experience or notice unless he showed us. And many things would never be revealed unless Jesus showed us. So what does it mean to be a follower rather than a leader? I think the aspiration sometimes of humanity leads towards leadership rather than followership. The coach. We all aspire to be the coach or the captain, you know, the team or the school captain or whatever. It's like leading us this aspiration of many. But maybe the aspiration is that we need to be coached or we need to be captained so that all things can be revealed. And I don't think life will fully be revealed and we will never fully understand what Jesus wants to show us and all his purposes Unless we do take that invitation to say, come follow me, I want to show you something. Some of us may not be comfortable in living a life as a follower. Maybe we want to be a leader, want to be in charge. And Jesus says, no, I think maybe that was probably Simon's issue, is that he's used to being charged. You could see Andrew looking at his brother, waiting for him to sort of say, what are we doing? What are we, you know? Please, Simon, trust him as I have trusted you. We need another leader in our life. I've always thought being in charge, you know, and pressing your own path is a bit of a myth. Someone coined it, if you put up the next slide, the myth of autonomy. The deception of control that many believe. We're all under the influence of something or someone. We are usually just following a trend or an algorithm or a set of expectations, a person, a culture, a philosophy, a leader, a friend, a mentor, a celebrity, a TV series maybe, a movie. So I suppose the question is not if we follow, but rather who we follow. You're not your own person. You've been influenced by someone or something along the way. We've been moulded, and culture, if you don't allow it, it allows you, it moulds you and shapes you into the person you want to be. The things you think about, the thoughts you have, the ideas you have come from somewhere. You didn't just wake up one morning and just have those. They've come from somewhere. You've been influenced. You're under the influence, you could say. Right? So the question is, whose influence do we want to be under? Isn't that the question? So there's a call here that Jesus invites us to, and he says, follow me. He says, I want to show you something. If you go to the next slide, and I think there's this difference between observation versus participation, and thank you for the cue too, Pete, that this is a participation sport, not an, you know, God's doing something this morning. You know, the disciples weren't invited to a lecture. They were invited to walk, to follow him. And in fact, the Greek word here literally means learner. Disciple means learner. We're a learner. We never stop learning, right? We say that, oh, life's a bit of a journey and we never stop learning. And the reason you don't stop learning is because you're a disciple. That's your identity. So as long as you're a disciple, you're always going to be learning. I don't know about you, but I don't know everything there is to know about the kingdom of God. Does anyone know that? About life. Like there must be people here that are smart enough to know that. Right? And it's ridiculous to think that I've arrived. But the reality is that I'm a learner. And Jesus doesn't just hand out a syllabus and say, here's your 10-point plan to global life and mission. He says, follow me. I love that. And in fact, if you're a rabbi and you held a student, the idea is that the student would cover himself in the dust of the rabbi's feet. And what he was saying is that you walk so closely behind him that the dust kicked up by his sandals landed on you. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So this is a participation mandate. It's not a spectator sport, is it, Pete? It's not enough to admire his life. We need to inhabit it. And I love what St. Augustine said. It wasn't enough for him to give them a commandment. He gave them an example so that they might do what he did the way he did it. And this is what it is. And Jesus invited people into the mess. We read in Matthew 8, as soon as Jesus gets off the Sermon on the Mount, which we read the Beatitudes, The Sermon on the Mount was one of the greatest legal or ethical teachings of history. It's known for that. But Jesus didn't stay on the mountain, or he would have just been a philosopher. He got off the mountain because it wasn't just an intellectual idea, but it was a physical commitment to follow through on what he said. And that's what it meant to follow thing. And so Jesus goes off the mountain and he heals the man, the unclean man, the man with leprosy. And he just didn't heal him with word, he actually touched him. This was the observation. And the disciples observed, they participated in this, if you like, scandal of touch. And he said to him, if you want to follow me, you know what? You guys are going to have to get your hands dirty. It's not all going to happen. He didn't want to kind of, you know, I think for us, we want some sanitized faith, you know. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just want to sit down and drink milkshakes and have chips. Sometimes Jesus asks us to get out of our seat and follow him. They were really good chips, weren't they? I really enjoyed that. One of the best chips I've had, actually. Ingenine, it was good. Go up there, go and check it out. Right next to Glory Jeans there, there's a kebab place. I'll put a thing online to say that you got really good chips there, guys. Well done. Jesus reached out the hand and touched him. And Jesus demonstrates that the kingdom of God isn't about escaping the world's problems, but walking directly into them. I love what Shay Claiborne said. He said this, if you put it up, he said, I think we've made the gospel very complicated, but at the end of the day, it's about following a Middle Eastern refugee who told us to love your enemies and touch the broken. Do it. He goes on in that passage. You see Jesus all the time. What does he do? He washes the disciples' feet, and this is the scandal of it. Now that I, the Lord, our teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And he goes, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. And that's the picture of humility. He just didn't preach about it, but he touched their dirty feet and forced them to participate in the awkwardness, if you like, of being served and then serving others. So this is the call of Jesus. I was thinking about it. This is Jesus' apprenticeship model, if you like. Go to the next slide. His idea was this, is that phase one is I do, you watch me. You watch me do it. Phase two is we do it together. The with me phase. Phase three is you do, you go in my name and you do it. And then phase four, if you like, is all do, because you know we don't just kind of go and do it. We still have a master. We still have Holy Spirit. And we stay connected to Holy Spirit. Because we are the vine, and he is the vine and we are the branches, and apart from him we can do nothing. So we stay connected. And I love this. I would much rather the apprenticeship model than going and sit in a university, get all the education and go off and go, good luck with that. But Jesus says, just hang around me. Be close to me, see what I do, look what I do, read what I do, then you do it and we'll do it together, and that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's an invitation, if you like, into a new reality. And just as my granddaughter had something specific in mind to show me, Jesus says, I will show you a version of yourself that you never met, a fisher of men. And a kingdom that you've never seen. I will show you something that you would never have discovered on your own. You know, there's a cost of staying and doing nothing. There's a cost of leaving the comfortable sometimes. You know, leaving the table of chips out of your comfort zone. You know, sometimes we're more comfortable staying where we are than going out and stepping because it's scary. I want to say, the adventure that Jesus wants to invite you on is absolutely amazing and phenomenal, but super scary at the same time. And it requires deep levels of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. There's this sense that's challenging. That's really challenging. And there's a trap to say where I am is good enough. Often we don't stay because things are bad. Sometimes we just stay where we are because things are fine. Right? And the disciples weren't failing fishermen. I mean, even though James on that picture maybe thought, oh, man, I'm not very good at this. You know, he says, oh, you know, let's go fishing again. Their nets were full enough to keep them busy. They had a job that they were doing. And the cost of staying is that sometimes you have to leave something in order to go to something. C.S. Lewis said this, we're far too easily pleased, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. I really like that truck. I thought that was cool. You're far too easily pleased. That's another quote. We'll do that later. See, the nets often represent predictability. And following Jesus is inherently unpredictable. You cannot always see the miraculous things from the shore. And you have to get out of the boat, out of the storm. And the miraculous is honestly rarely found in the routine of life. Sometimes it's found by stepping out. We read in Genesis 12 where God tells Abraham, go from your country, your people, your husband, and your father's household to a land I will show you. Go. From your country, your people, your father's household to land. And God didn't show him the land until what? He left his house. And this revelation was connected to his departure. He had to leave. I don't want to be the guy who, you know, when you tell a story and it's a really good story. Anyone told a really good story and the person you're talking to is going, I really don't understand what you're talking about. And then they say to you, it was kind of a had to be there moment. It kind of had to be there. I don't want to be the kind of person where we sit around talking about the wonderful things of the kingdom and our relationship with Jesus and I'm blank faced sitting there going, I suppose I had to be there. I want to be there. I want to be there. And that's the invitation of Jesus. There is a specific connection when we feel it and there's emotion and connection, you know, that cannot be downloaded or understood unless you're there. I get excited when people share testimonies with me and I literally think, gee, I wish I was there. I wish I was there. And I think this is the invitation of Jesus. Come follow me. I want to show you something. That's the call of fellowship. That's the call of follow. There are things that we would discover with him that we would never discover otherwise. What does he say? He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You cannot theorize the taste of honey. You can talk about taste, right? I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to describe how something tastes. It's hard. And it's only done by comparison. It's like, oh, it tastes kind of like this. And then you sit there going, just give me some. I want to taste it. I want to experience it. I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want you just to tell me how it tastes. Give me some so I can taste it. You know, Peter, we read in Matthew 14, didn't learn the physics of water simply by watching from the boat. He learned about sustaining power of Jesus by stepping out of the boat. He had to experience it and understand the miracle. It's kind of like a had to be there moment for Peter. It's like, I want to be there. So theory just doesn't stay in our head. It's an experience that moves from our heart and our hands. And if you go to that next slide, that would be great now. We're up there. It's not enough to believe that religion is true. We must also find it to be true in the sense of being real. It must have a taste of reality. And this is why Jesus insists on following me and walk with me. And you think about this, if Jesus only wanted us to have theory, he would have just stayed in heaven and sent us a manual. Right? But what did he do? Emmanuel, God with us, he came down to earth to be among us so that we would follow him. So that we could see how he interacted with people and what he did and how he spent his time and how he performed miracles. So we had a living, breathing, smelling example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that's what distinguishes us from other religions. It's like we have a living, breathing idea of this person of Jesus where I can see and touch him and I can see exactly how he lived, how he interacted. And he says, follow me. And so Jesus, as he's leading to the cross and leading to, if you want, Easter in a few weeks, he says in Matthew 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up my cross daily and follow me. So I love what Paul said because I think he had the balance of this because I think sometimes we enjoy the good stuff, but it's like the suffering. Jesus is saying, you follow me there as well. And they're like, no, I'll just follow you. I'll just have chips and milkshakes with you. That's where I'll go with you. I'm not going through the Matthew 5 Beatitude stuff. I'm not doing the persecution stuff. You've done that. I reckon I'll just stick to the good stuff. And so in Philippians 3, verse 10, the apostle says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings. And Paul didn't want a biography of Jesus. He wanted a shared experience. He wanted to live the life that Jesus lived. And that's the call for us. If we want to live the life that Jesus lived, and he invites us into this life, then we need to follow him. We need to study his word. We need to look at how he lived. We need to listen to his voice through the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to those whispers. And when he says, go, go. When he says, no, no. When he says, stop, stop. When he says, wait, wait. When he says, listen, listen. And we just follow him. I don't want to spend all morning in church talking about the theory of the cross or the theory of following Jesus. But you should smell the dust on Jesus' feet this morning that it kicks up in your face that you are so close to him. So Jesus is standing by your boat today. Your job, your family, your mess. And he isn't offering a lecture to you. He's offering a walk. He says, come on, let's go. Walk with me. So the call to follow Jesus is simply this. If you put it up on the screen. I want to show you something. I want to show you some things that you would never discover on your own. I want to show you what it means to be a learner. I want to show you what it means to walk in miracles. I want to show you what it means how to live this life to the full. So stay close. Listen. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for my granddaughter. Thank you that she gave me a great idea. Thank you that out of the mouth of babes, sometimes you speak if I'm listening. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to see as I walk with you, and I'm never going to see unless I do. So help us to follow you today. Help us to follow you today in Jesus' name. You're awesome, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege it is that you call us out of our boat, wherever we are, and you say, hey, follow me. And we want to recognize that call today, even though sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't understand, but I pray that we would just walk in that invitation today. That we would see things and experience things that we could only imagine. May our life with you not just be about theory, but may it be about action and participation in Jesus' name. Amen.